What'd you come up with?
Us?
Yeah, let's start with this group over here. And speak loudly so the whole class can hear you. So let's pick up here. There you go, that's good.
So we basically came up with, depending on your circumstance before going into the virtual reality, you know, if it was, you know, the worst case scenarios, you know, you're in prison or just life sucks terribly, you know, and you would be coming out with this great good, then that would be the right idea. But then again, you know, we also, she brought up the idea of, you know, what about having the contrast of hardships to really enjoy all this happiness? And but I think in the experiment it says that you could change that, like you could jump out of it, tweak the simulation to get that. Is that what I was saying?
Yeah, like, or to make sure it's like the most pleasurable. But people do have this idea that if life was great all the time, that it wouldn't be, you wouldn't be able to do that because you need pain to make as contrast to the happiness.
Otherwise, you don't really, there isn't happiness without pain, because you don't really know what happiness is unless you've experienced something that's not happiness.
Is that really true? In order to appreciate freedom, do you have to go to prison?
Well,
it helps you.
It helps.
Okay. Assuming it does help, is it worth the prison, though? Suppose you had a choice, go to prison for 10 years and really appreciate. All right, you guys, focus attention here, please. Everyone will get their turn. Suppose you had a choice, go to prison for 10 years for a crime you didn't commit and really appreciate your freedom when you get let out, or appreciate your freedom as much as you appreciate it now. Which are you going to pick?
Appreciate
the latter. Yeah, nobody would want to volunteer to go to prison for 10 years, or even 5 years, or even a year, I think. Most people would think that would be a bad deal. So the pain of having your freedom restricted outweighs any benefit you might get.
But don't you think the people that have been to prison for crimes they committed understand the freedom a little bit more? They have a sense of respect for it more than those people who've never experienced not being free?
I agree with that.
Considering our national rate of going back to prison, I'd say they don't.
That's a good point. Well, but the thing is, maybe suppose you get like a little bit more appreciation, but is that worth all the pain? So you get the pleasure of appreciating your freedom more versus the pain of having your freedom stripped away from you for years or whatever, for a long period of time. Yeah.
So why are we like equating freedom to like being physically, like you're physically trapped on Earth, so you're physically trapped and not free to leave Earth. So if they put you in a cage, you're physically trapped in a cage, and you're physically not able to leave the cage, right? But like, what makes one more free than the other?
I suppose like freedom, like you can't go. I mean, by and large, like you can pretty much go where you want, do what you want to do. Like in prison, your life's regimented. You're told when to get up, when to go to bed. You don't have any privacy. Okay, well, yeah, some people like, yeah. I don't want to go there. There might be, but the idea is that, assuming that most people seem to value freedom, right? So the idea that you need to experience confinement in order to really enjoy freedom, I think, is questionable.
Not that you need it, but that it helps.
It helps, okay.
You have a sense of it more. If you fought in the military, you know the value of freedom. You know what it's like to put your life on the line for someone's freedom. We don't know what that's like. We don't know. Well, I mean, I don't know if people in Europe have been in the military, you know, but we don't know what it's like to put our life on the line for our freedom. We just have it given to us.
Let me try another one. So my friend, the chiropractor, could give anyone in this room a traumatic back injury. It can be really painful. You'll be laid up in bed for about at least a month, and then you'll start a slow recovery period. But in 6 months, you'll be pretty much the same as before. Maybe a little weak, creaky when the weather changes, but otherwise okay. And after you've recovered, you'll understand what it is to be free from debilitating pain, what it is to be able to walk around like a normal person, sit in a chair, sleep at night, and et cetera, et cetera. Who would say, sign me up, that sounds great, because I'm really going to be happy after I recover? It's like this is a joke about a guy who's on the street corner, hit himself with a 2x4 on the head over and over and over again. And then and you go up to the guy and you say, why are you hitting yourself over and over on the head with a 2x4? And he says, because when I stop, it feels so good. Like, it's irrational to say, oh, I want some pain so I can be happier, right? The pain makes you unhappy. And even if the pain makes you a little bit happier to be free from the pain, best to avoid the pain altogether.
Yeah. But if you've been happy your entire life, do you even know what happiness is? Like,
why not?
You said that, I don't know if it was you actually, it might have been a different class, but you can't have right without wrong, or you can't have selfish without selfish.
Oh, you can't have selfish without unselfish, but
so
you can have happiness
without
unhappiness.
Where did happiness come from if not from unhappiness?
Well, selfish and unselfish are like hot and cold, but happiness and unhappiness, I think, are different. Happiness and pain, in that you can experience, like, there's some people that can't experience physical pain, for example, right? That they have like a neurological disease where they can't experience physical pain, but they do experience physical pleasure. So, and it's the same thing with like feeling good versus feeling depressed. Do you need to try something else here? Go ahead. You had your hand up for a while.
I was just saying, like, for the freedom thing, like, country versus country, like, culture versus culture, like, I think some Americans take freedom for granted. Like, we have the freedom to wear what we want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
We have the freedom to do that. And, like, exactly. And, like, in other countries, they know the value of freedom more just because they have so many limitations. So that's why most of their goals is, like, not most, but some of their goals is, like, to get to the United States so they can be free.
Right.
And I think with us, like, we just, like, we know that we're free, but we don't understand the full, like, extent of, like what it means to not be free.
Yeah, nobody's trying to break down the door to get into North Korea or Cuba. It's a good point. And, let me give another example of contrast, right? So, you know, eating food is something that brings people pleasure. And certain kinds of foods, like ones filled with, like, sugar and fat, you know, those tend to be more pleasurable. But in order to appreciate, like, say, your favorite dish, do you have to eat rotting garbage? Right? What if I said, you know, you'd really appreciate, like, I enjoy, you know, suppose I'm like, I enjoy Lane's culinary program. I love the veggie oval plate down in the cafeteria. They had quiche and some Abu Ghabi and some Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts. And it was delicious. But suppose I'm talking like with my next door neighbor, the psychology professor, and she says, you know, Jeff, psychology says that, pleasure is appreciated more if it's contrasted with pain. So I suggest that you eat rotting garbage and get violently ill, and then the next day you have your little veggie oval plate. It's going to taste a lot better because you're going to, like, oh, this isn't rotting garbage. This tastes a lot better than rotting garbage. Well, why not just, like, it seems like I can eat a variety of pleasurable foods, and the contrast is in the different kinds of pleasure. And that doesn't have to be in pleasure versus pain. It could just be this kind of pleasure versus that kind of pleasure. You have the sweet and the savory, right? I might enjoy the chocolate ice cream one day, and then another day it might be the pizza, right? So those are different kinds of pleasures of contrast. I don't need to eat something that tastes terrible in order to experience something good. I don't need to go out and see a bad movie in order to appreciate a good movie. Yeah.
I was just going to say, in the sense of dishes, you know, a lot of people out there who don't necessarily have the opportunity to eat a nice fine dish, but on a regular basis have to eat something that's bland, say rice and beans, for example, with no seasoning, something that they'd have to eat every day because they're poor, but then they'd have the opportunity to go to a restaurant and have $40 meal, mm-hmm. you're going to appreciate that meal a lot more. Not because that it's something that they had to choose to do, but something that was forced upon them by them. So you will gain that appreciation ultimately.
Okay, sure. If you have some, if your daily experience is mundane, you have something that's like really pleasurable, it's going to be a big contrast.
Right.
And then there is this thing where if you get the same pleasurable experience over and over again, you start to appreciate it less. So maybe in the experience machine, you want to balance this out, right? You want to like experience this one pleasurable thing for a while, and then experience this other pleasurable thing, then cut back to the first thing. It's just sort of, but the idea is not like, oh, and then let's see, and after 10 years, I want to program in that I get cancer, you know, or whatever, and I want to have the feeling of the doctor telling me the tumor is malignant, and then I want to have to go in for surgery because then I'll appreciate my health. I'd say, like, if you think you should program that into your experience machine, you should seek therapy, because that would be a bad experience. That the whole point of the experience machine is you avoid stuff like that, right? And like, if you're going to do the Star Trek thing, right, you want to avoid like the boring, like filling out paperwork or whatever, right? So like, you watch like a Star Trek episode and you see Picard's there filling out some reports on his little tablet device, and then all of a sudden, here comes Riker. There's a problem. There's an adventure. There's something interesting happening, right? So, like, in real life, it's like there's a lot of boring stuff you got to do. Read John Stuart Mill or whatever, right? And it's like, oh, God, I got this test to take. And there's lots of drudgery and there's lots of unpleasant experiences. Those are necessary evils that you put up with to get a degree, to get a job, to have money, et cetera, et cetera. But if you could cut all that stuff out, you would. As the hedonist idea is that it's the pleasurable experiences you want. You'll put up with some pain in order to get the pleasurable experiences, but the pain is bad. Yeah?
I just feel like the idea of forcing pleasure to pain is what makes the machine not work for me, because I think there needs to be a combination of pleasure and pain, but if any of it is something that you're consciously doing and you're consciously aware of, then you don't get the lesson that you need out of it. And I would just say, like, for example, like, if I listen to a song and I kind of like it and it's on my iPod and I skim through it, I don't really pay attention to it, and then one day, you know, I'm having a terrible day because of something else, I might realize that song, there was something that was, you know, not very special, not necessarily a pleasure to me, it's suddenly a pleasure because it connects with what's going on, or, you know, it works. And that's like that natural part of life that I don't think people are okay with having changed, and that's why for me the experience machine wouldn't really work.
Well, you said something about natural. Is natural always good? Like, there's lots of things that are natural that are kind of unpleasant, like getting a toothache or something, having a cavity, right?
There's a natural flow to things that, if it were to be like pushed for me, would definitely throw off my ideas.
Would it make you unhappy?
I don't know, but it would make me rethink like the steps that I've made in my life.
Well, if it make you unhappy, then obviously you shouldn't program into the machine.
Yeah.
But the idea is that you can program whatever experiences you want, whatever you think is going to make you the most happy, and can just program that in, and then be laying there in the hospital bed and like experiencing all the things in life that you're not able to experience, or even like just in small measure. Why wouldn't you do it?
I just remember back in high school, I ended up watching a documentary that showed immigrants that came in from Mexico, and they talked about how they would come here and they would be illegal and wouldn't necessarily have as much opportunity to get a good job, so they end up picking food out of the fields and everything, and it showed the difference of appreciation in comparison to the average American child comparatively to a child that grew up intuitively poor and having to work for absolutely everything that they had from a very young age. They're a lot more appreciative of the things that they get, the things that they share with their family, and and being able to strive to live in comparison to the regular person that's like, oh, I just broke my iPad, Mom, can you buy me a new one?
Yeah, there is a sort of...
Not that all our children should be miserable, because we're all going to learn from life through the things that we live, but yes, being provided for by every single means, having the ultimate happy, you're not going to appreciate it. You're not going to ultimately be happy. It's a fake envisionment of happiness.
Exactly. Having your parents do everything for you, you're never going to know what it's like to work for
You get like the illusion of striving, so it like feel like maybe, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be that painful, but you could like, you'd be doing things. You just wouldn't have the actual, you wouldn't actually be achieving anything. So you'd like have the fame and fortune of being like a world famous author or something, right? But you would never have actually written something. You just sort of have like the experience of having written. Actually, there's a famous author. Who is it that says that? I think it might be Stephen King, who said that, most people don't want to write. Most people want to have written. And this idea of the end result. And some people pay other people to write their books, right? Especially if they, you know, have substance abuse problems and so on. And they had some hit books and then they're in a slump. But so you have people want the accomplishment. So you get, in this machine, you could have the feeling of accomplishment without actually having to do any of the work. Wouldn't that be cool? It would be like, for example, let's take another example. I've recently lost, like, I don't know, it depends on how recently you say, but like 30, 40, 50 pounds. Like, you know, from my high of 208, and now I'm like 150 or thereabouts, right? So it's like between 50 and 60 pounds over the course of most of it in the last year. It's like, that was really painful. It meant, like, going hungry. It meant, like, exercising. It meant, like fighting the urge, the natural urge to eat all the time. It meant, like, foregoing very pleasurable experiences with food. Why? Because I want to, you know, get more healthy because I'm vain and all those things. So, but if someone were to come up to me and say, well, here's a weight loss pill. You just take this pill every day and you'll lose weight and with no side effects. First of all, there is no such thing. So you hear all those ads on the radio and the TV, they don't exist. But if someone were to offer that to me, I think I'd be a sucker not to take it. Especially if they're like, oh yeah, it's like $8 a month or something like that.
I don't think that's a valid comparison, because that's actualizing your desire to be skinny reality. And this is synthetic, like synthetically transmitted.
Well, it'd be a synthetic pill, right? Take this pill, you'll lose weight artificially, right? But as far as your experience goes, there's no difference in the machine. Like, I could be as skinny as I want to be without having to worry about it at all.
Would it be as appealing, though, if you're just having a feeling of being skinny as opposed to actually you're just as fat as you ever were?
Well, the utilitarians would say it doesn't make a difference. It's the experiences that matter, not, like, the objective reality doesn't matter. It's like the objective reality, you're laying in the hospital bed, but you don't know you're laying in a hospital bed. You think you're, you know, on the Starship Enterprise, or you're, you know, doing whatever you think is exciting, or if it's, you know, in a romance novel or whatever it could be, having spiritual experiences on the third plane.
So is the idea somewhere along the lines of the Archdeceiver, where you don't even know that you're on the
The idea is that once you're in, you don't know you're in. And again, like, they might bring you out, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, it's all been a simulation. And then they say, well, how's it going? And you're like, well, I like everything except for, you know, get rid of that annoying, Will Wheaton character. He's really obnoxious, right? And okay, replace him with like the hot Borg babe from the Voyager series, right? Then you go back into the experience machine, and your experiences are better. But then when you're put back in, you forget that you were ever out of it. So you'd like to have a life of pleasure. Who wouldn't want a life of pleasure? What would you be missing?
Would you get in there or would you not?
I plead the fifth because I don't want to poison the well. Why? But why wouldn't you? Yeah.
What about, like, if your pleasure does your pleasure have to fit as utilitarianism? Like, what if my pleasure is killing people? You give me this machine, and I'm like, oh, finally. Like, I can kill people with no consequences. Put me in the machine, hook me up. I want to be a mass murderer. I want to get away with it.
What people do when they play Grand Theft Auto is just they do it for a few hours. You could just have a total immersion experience there, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're just like, what would... So that would be perfectly okay.
It would be?
Yeah. So if that's what you want to do.
No actual consequence of it.
Well, I guess the idea is, like, imagine you could have all the pleasure you ever wanted and no other value. Then would that be a good life? If you would say, yes, I'll take a life of pleasure to the exclusion of all else, then that shows that hedonism is true. If you'd say, no, something's missing, whatever, if something's missing, then there's more to life than pleasure, and pleasure is not the only intrinsic value. There's something else. Might be achievement, might be knowledge, might be some other thing, right? In other words, if you're missing out on something by not being in the real world, that you're not missing out on pleasure. You can get all the pleasure you want, but if there's something missing, that shows that something's wrong with hedonism. Yeah.
Maybe it's that there's something like that pleasure isn't just as simple as you feel good all the time. Maybe pleasure is more like you get the knowledge, you get maybe even some bad experiences every once in a while for the overall accumulation of a pleasurable life.
All right, well, this is Dozick's example. You get all the pleasure you want, nothing else. Would you pick a life like that? Why or why not? So, go.
I was just going to say, not to compare humans to rats, but this is a very hypothetical situation where in psychology they actually hooked rats up to a machine where they had access to a button that would activate their pleasure center.
Right. Yep.
And these rats would just press it over and over and over until they died.
Yep. So the idea is you could do that except you're being fed through a tube and you're having all these cool experiences. Right, so you get all the pleasure you want, all the experiences you want, and nothing else. But also, like, none of the dreck that you have from this life, like, you know, all the unpleasant experiences of being, like, you know, dumped by your girlfriend, having to pay your taxes, having to sit in boring meetings, having to try to slog through Immanuel Kant, right? All those negative experiences. Yeah.
We were all in it. How would we exist, though? I mean,
well, it's a thought experiment. So.
I know, but let's just say that the whole world says, yes, I want experience, all the pleasure I can get, and then there's no one actually making people.
Intelligent robots.
What?
Intelligent robots. Just like in The Matrix. Well, think about The Matrix, right? It's like that, except for The Matrix is kind of interesting because what they said is if you've seen the movie, there's a bit where the artificial intelligence is saying that, well, originally we designed The Matrix as like a hedonistic paradise, but people were just like going bonkers because they're too happy. And so we had to like dumb it down a little bit and make it kind of dreary and rainy all the time and everybody wears black and it's kind of, you know, like Eugene, right? they had to make it like Eugene, so people were kind of like mopey and miserable, and that was a life that they could bear. But it's like, but that's kind of an interesting idea that too much happiness would, people couldn't handle it. It seems like that's what people are after is happiness, and the utilitarians will say everybody wants to be happy. That's the goal in life, is to be happy. And so you create the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people, and that's what your moral duty is. Yes?
So is the argument that pleasure is really the only intrinsic good, is that something where, like, a lot of people disagree?
Yeah, there is a big debate. A lot of people reject that idea. Nozick, in his experience machine, is trying to prove that hedonism is wrong, that there's more to life than pleasure, and Nozick is confident you will say, no way, I would never hook up to that machine. That life would suck. And then Nozick will say, well, that shows that you value something other than pleasure then, because this machine's giving you all the pleasure you could ever want and nothing else. Well, whatever that else is that you still want, that's a value, an intrinsic value, in addition to pleasure. And that shows that if there's other values than pleasure, then hedonism is wrong as a theory of value. Yeah.
There's this great Twilight Zone episode where this man dies trying to rob a bank, and he gets caught and he gets shot, and he wakes up and he he's like, and there's this man, he's like, hello, welcome to your death, and here is your death space, and you get whatever you want. He's like, all right, I get babes, I get booze, I get gambling, and it's like, I can rob any bank I want, no problem. After a while, he's like, well, this is boring. Like, you know, let's fix things up. Like, maybe I heard a friend of mine died recently, can I go visit him? And he's like, nope, I'm sorry, this is your own special death. And he's like, well, what kind of heaven is this? You said this is heaven.
Yeah, so, and it turns out the devil. This guy, you know, he's like, he's. I remember there's a point where he's like, he wins every time he gambles. He's like, is this going to get boring? Maybe, how about if I like lose every once in a while? He's like, that's not allowed. It's not allowed by the rules. And he's like, what kind of heaven is this? Who said anything about heaven? All right. So you get that. Yeah, yeah, right. So is that realistic, or would that actually be something that would be pleasurable? So think about that and whether. There's more to life than pleasure, and we'll talk more about utilitarianism on Wednesday.